Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He's a fantastic kid, and I think he's going to be a big credit to the PGA Tour for a long time. But he needs to get that first win out of the way, because Sunday was painful. That was a very, very difficult loss.
Thank you, Steve. Talk soon, I know.
You got it, Tony. Good luck with those pencils and the scorecards. It was real easy to get those at a U.S. Open on a Sunday morning, Tony. It was fantastic.
I appreciate it very much once I get them in my hand.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Speaking of golf, the Saudi Tour opens today in Pumpkin Ridge in Oregon, right, Michael?
Yeah, you're going to stream it?
No, because they still don't have a television deal, right?
No, you got to fire up the VPN for this one.
You got YouTube? Can you YouTube it?
Yeah, I think you can.
Do I have YouTube? I don't think you have
the YouTube. Then we could.
I have the Hulu, I think.
Streamcast it to your TV, probably.
So are you going to watch some of it if you can? It's 48-man field. 48-man
field, yeah. 54-hole. Liv Moss.
Yeah.
Am I going to watch it? I don't think so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. I mean, I'm not, you know, the John Deere is the PGA rival event. The John Deere is an air tournament most of the time, right?
Sure, it's an air tournament, but it's around all the time. Tournament that has targeted and sort of welcomed young talent before they've hit it big. So you remember, this is where Jordan Spieth, I think, got his first win before everyone knew who he was.
You think Sajid Thigala might play in this one?
It would be. I'm not sure if he's playing, but that would be the perfect winner for it.
You get is this like a Sam Burns first win kind of place?
This is the
and then he has three wins.
This is the tournament where they used to bring over the jet, right, to get everyone over to the UK.
Oh yeah, that's right. They provide transportation for the people going to the British Open, which is not this week, but the following week. Is it the following week or the week after?
It's later because
after Wimbledon.
The Scottish Invitational is next week.
Yeah, so it's always after Wimbledon. So maybe they provide transportation to the Scottish
Open
because none of the Saudi Tour guys are going to be allowed to play in that. I missed the Nats yesterday. I sat down at 7:15. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to watch. They were on earlier in the day. They apparently lost. Nigel, you were saying some controversial thing happened that you didn't understand, and I certainly don't understand it.
Yeah, I was talking about it with Michael before the show. We both missed it live, but there was something where a guy, they tried to get double off a runner at third after a caught fly ball, I think, and they tagged the runner and then the bag. And for some reason, they said they have to formally appeal something. It's very unclear what was
formally appeal, like get a lawyer, like get Abby. Do they have to get Abby and go to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, you didn't get to do the like one coach nods to another coach and you get an extra 30 seconds. I think they left the field too early. So once the players crossed the line, then I think there was sort of, it was a moot point at that point.
But it ended up costing them a run,
and they lose
by one run.
They lose by one.
Because some kid hit three home runs.
Yeah, maybe if they kept one guy in the park.
By the way, I looked at that and I was like, they're lucky that Bob Gibson wasn't pitching for the Nats that day.
So I don't understand any of this.
But yeah. I texted you two nights ago because you get used to the fact that they're winning every game in the eighth inning as a comeback. They should play every game against the Pirates. They're competitive. Yeah. They match up.
They're good games. They're both bad teams and they're good games.
Pirates not as bad as you think.
Nats are as bad
Nats
as I think.
Nats worse than you think.
Yeah, they're a bad team.
Pirates have a nice little lead though on Cincinnati.
Speaking of, Cincinnati's the worst, right?
Yeah, well.
Baltimore and Cincinnati are the worst. Is Oakland
Cubs.
The worst?
Cubs are down there,
Cubs
too.
Cubs stink, too. That makes me happy. I'm happy when the Cubs stink. I bring this up only because you're a Boston fan. Their closer, Tanner Houck, is not vaccinated.
Yes.
And the Red Sox go to Toronto, and Tanner Houck is not allowed to go to Toronto.
It's not like you're going to need a closer.
He's not allowed to enter the country. They have a 5-4 lead in the ninth. And they go to the pen for Tanner Houck, and he's back at home eating lobster because he's not in the country.
Yeah.
And Wilbon sort of said, oh, I don't blame him completely. I blame him completely. Me and Dan Shaughnessy blame him completely. I can't sit around and say bad things about Kyrie Irving and give this guy a pass.
Right.
You know, he says, I'll do anything to help the team. No, you didn't. You didn't get the vaccine, which would have helped the team. The Yankees, and they have players who didn't want to get the vaccine, like Aaron Judge. They got the vaccine. And why? Because you play 19 games in division, 19 games against Toronto, and some of them have to be in Toronto.
Yes.
9 or 10 of them have to be in Toronto. And if you can't play, you're hurting your team. Novak Djokovic is hurting Novak Djokovic.
Yes.
God bless him. I don't like him, so I don't care. But this guy's hurting a whole team. It's just like Kyrie Irving. I don't know how you can excuse this guy.
Everything in your world comes back to Novak and Kyrie. It's amazing.
Right. Well, no, it's true. And it wasn't just him. There was a bloke by the name of Jaren Duran, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Who's been hitting leadoff and playing brilliantly.
No, I don't care about that.
Yeah, but
I care about the situation. The only reason you hired this guy, Tanner Houck, right, is for that situation. That's his job.
Yeah.
It's not random. It's not like a leadoff hitter might get up three times, four times. It's not that. No, it's this guy's job.
I'll just say I was not thrilled when I knew. And because also Toronto's very good, so you don't want to give them any extra advantage that they might have.
Didn't they get into a fight last night?
I don't know if they got no fight.
Bench is clearing?
I didn't see that, but they may have. Yeah, so I'm not all that thrilled with Tanner Houck right now.
Shouldn't be.
And I wonder how that's always received in the clubhouse, you know? He's going to be a team, and it's like, well, we're going to go there.
The players didn't hate Kyrie.
Yeah, I guess.
I think players sort of rally around players. They feel that they understand them. Got this nice note from Sam Ginsberg from Pittsburgh. Sent me a card, birthday card, a Uranus joke birthday card. He said, I owe you a big apology. My son Daniel was married last fall in Brooklyn, and we didn't get around to inviting you. I'm sure you remember Daniel from his bar mitzvah 16 years ago. You were kind enough to sign and return the invite. We still have the signed return card, and your meal selection, the chicken, is currently in our freezer waiting for you. It's not any older than stuff I got in my freezer. But the real reason for this note is to thank you for saving me $30,000. You see, Daniel has grown up to be a big-time little. For a wedding gift, I offered him either the TK decal you sent me many years back or the brand-new 2022 Subaru Forester. Daniel, to the great consternation of his new wife, chose the decal. I'm not sure if she was more upset about not getting the car and more worried that he obviously does not love his family enough to own a Subaru. As always, thanks to all those involved for providing us with such great entertainment. And P.S., if Daniel begins sending you update emails about his life, should he go by DG but not that DG? That would be fine. Like Sam Ginsberg, very much.
I wonder if he threw in the hardtop carrier with the Subaru, if that was something the couple had to pick up on their own.
Is that the thing that's on the top?
Yeah.
Did you put a canoe on?
You have to get the roof rack. That is standard in the Subaru. Then you get the hard top carrier so you can withstand the elements as you're going up through Maine.
Does it come with the 26.2 sticker on the back of it?
Just lightly faded? Because
you see a lot of them. Marathons. I got to tell you.
You do.
You see a lot of them.
It's very popular.
They sell. Yes.
Yeah.
My dog is sick. Chessie is sick. Took her out for a walk very early this morning, and she began to whine and whine and whine, and she had some bouts with diarrhea, and she threw up a couple of times, not the usual throw up, which includes the plastic Frisbees that she eats. No, this was just yellow bile, and so something's definitely wrong with her. Then when I got home, I saw she had made in the house, which she has never done. Mm-hmm. She has never done that. That's not a good sign. But if you look at her now, doesn't she look fine?
She does.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just angry with you and just she's being passive aggressive.
I don't know. I'm
still
sort of
upset by that Nats call.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I'm sort of hoping that that somebody in this house calls the vet.
So step one, do we have to get her that pumpkin sludge?
No, I mean, I gave her a specific type of dog food that the last time she was not feeling well, we bought at the vet. So I gave her that. I think it sort of compacts her inside. I don't really know because I'm not a dog and I'm not a vet.
You start making the rice?
I haven't started making rice. I will make the rice today if it's chicken and rice.
A little chicken stock?
You know, I'll make the rice. I'll go to the Refugee Safeway and buy a cooked chicken. I'll just take the skin off it. Well, what's the difference, right?
Yeah, I'll take it off the bone too.
Well, I'm not going to give her the bones. I don't want a Mama Cass situation.
No, no.
I don't want that.
No.
But, you know, dogs, chicken bones are very breakable. You chew through them, and then they rupture your system, so you can't give can't give them chocolate either.
Yeah, I've never understood that, but apparently chocolate is like lethal to dogs.
Yeah, you don't give dogs chocolate.
Yeah.
All right, so
gummy bears they love. So maybe big bag of Albanese gummy bears or gummy worms.
I hope they're on their way. Let me just say this. When people want to send us other things, don't send us other things. don't send us things that you think will make us happy. No. Gummy bears will make us happy. Don't send other things.
What's the list? Gummy bears, wine, ice cream.
Send ice cream because it won't carry. You're not going to get it here.
Lobsters,
it's going to melt.
Graters, but not the new graters.
The new graters is just not good enough at all. No.
I still, by the way, I still, every time I'm in the Safeway, I stop in the frozen dessert section.
They don't have Baskin Robbins coffee.
Even though we know that they've discontinued
They've stopped
that,
making
I
it.
I don't know why I keep checking it in the vain hope that one day it'll be, oh, it's here. Tony will be so thrilled.
If it's here, it was made in 1950. Right. We can't have it. Let's get out of here. Michael Wilbon joins us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We got this note from Ajit Purandari, West Point class of 1995, who writes about his friend Chuck, and he says, hope the start of your summer season as well. Sending you some original music from Chuck Brasino and the Mile 57 Band. Chuck originally hails from George West, Texas, not too far from the Mexico border. In 2007, he deployed to Afghanistan with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. Chuck was a Cav Scout, that's Cavalry Scout Team Leader, in Operation Rock Avalanche, featured in the National Geographic Special Operation Restrepo, a film by Sebastian Younger. 173rd Airborne would lose 43 paratroopers during these combat operations. Upon completion of his deployment, Chuck received an appointment to West Point, where he graduated in 2012. That's great. The genre of music attached and in the Dropbox links is Red Dirt Music from South Texas. And Chuck is currently on tour in Missouri and Colorado. This is a song called Folded Flat. It's beautiful.
It is, isn't it?
Plays in Michael Wilbon. We have another song by Chuck Brasino in the Mile 57 Band later. So Wilbon and I have this sort of, and it's rivalry is the wrong word. But Mike hates when we go all in day after day after day on football free agency. Like, where is Aaron Rodgers going to go? And I concede that after a while, enough is enough,
yeah,
and we move on. But Mike loves basketball free agency. And I will have to say that while I don't care about Russell Westbrook or James Harden or Bradley Beal and what they have done, though we will talk about it, I do care about Kyrie Irving because I loathe him. And I can talk about Kyrie Irving every day. And Wilbon, I think you can talk about Kyrie Irving every day as well, right?
I mean, I could. I don't want to. The thing, Tony, I don't just – football free agency is one thing. But where they are right now on our network and in any network that does that covers the NFL, is they're just talking about the same thing for dozens of consecutive days with no movement, no games – no action, no nothing. And so the Aaron Rodgers thing wasn't free agency because he wasn't going anywhere. It was just stupid. And so I don't like any sport to do that, and only one really does that, and that's the NFL. Because there's no movement for months at a time. And people start things by saying, just 100 days until the camp starts. So you're going to talk about the same thing for 100 days? We don't do that with the NBA because you don't have 100 days. Because they're not even off that long. They'll be playing again before they can be off as long as the NFL. So that's what I hate. And basketball, Tony, will be over very quickly. It'll be, I'm not talking about the last strains of free agency. The big guns, Tone, it's this week. It's a week, not 100 days.
All right, so let me just explain what happened. We went out again. This is the second time today we've gone out. I hate Comcast beyond anything you can imagine. And I know they listen. And this happens every day to us. And it's not happening where Sean is. It's happening here. Because Comcast is doing some whatever they do, they don't obviously care about their customers. They're doing something larger, some whatever they're doing affects this show all the time.
Yes.
And they always say, oh, no, it, you know, it's not us. Well, who is it? Is it the man on the moon? No, it's Comcast. It's like Wilbon's on the line. Wilbon hates United Airlines, right,
yes.
Mike? You hate United Airlines. And even if somebody, if the president of United Airlines called you and said, no, 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 we didn't do this. This is what happened.
I hate you people.
And this is how I feel about Comcast. I hate them. I mean, and I like the people who are involved who talk to me, but they do this all the time.
Yeah.
Every time we do a show, we lose the show, and it's Comcast. That's who it is. All right, anyway, let's go to Kyrie Irving, who opted in. Of course he opted in, because he can't get any money anywhere else, because nobody trusts him. So he opted in. What do you make of that? And is it different than Westbrook?
You don't have to opt in. What you could do is you could say, you know what, I'm going to bank on the team that I re-sign with helping me out here by arranging a sign and trade.
Right.
And that will allow me to get more money as well. And so that's what, say, DeAndre Ayton can do.
Right.
Because there's 15 teams out there. Let's not say 15. There's 6 to 8 teams at least who would pay DeAndre Jordan the max amount and
DeAndre
trade
Ayton. DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Jordan is 80 years old.
Did I say DeAndre Jordan? Not DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton. And Tone, that is apparently that is not the case, as we've heard the reporting from Woj and others, with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Other teams do not want to arrange a sign and trade with Kyrie, as they would with DeAndre Ayton right now. So yes, Kyrie had to opt in, take that $36.5 million, and Brooklyn will now see what it can do. But there are not a lot of teams out there that are going after Kyrie Irving, as talented as he is, which is sort of amazing.
Yeah, because they can't trust him.
No.
It's a very simple thing. Everyone loves his talent. No one trusts him because of what he has demonstrated. He takes days off for birthday parties. Come on.
Yeah.
This is you can't do this. Now, Russell Westbrook opted in for a different reason. It's not that people wouldn't take Russell Westbrook. He's not worth $47 million at this point, right? I mean, they're not going to find any takers, and he'd be crazy not to take the money.
$47 million. It's going to be interesting, Tom, because, yes, people can trade contracts. They've done it. We saw that with John Wall.
Yeah. For Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, at this point, $47 million. He's not worth anything near that anymore. And the NBA is facing not a crisis, because owners will pay it and they do have it. But if you got one of those deals and that guy isn't approaching his max value as a player, you really are in some bit of trouble.
There's no other sports league that pays this kind of money. An unbelievable salary in hockey is probably $15 to $18 million. There are some baseball players that make a lot of money, but nobody makes $47 million. Nobody in football makes $47 million.
No, but there are some people in soccer.
Okay, but yeah, but because that's an international sport, and maybe it's different. Why do people make so much money in basketball? We've seen this in the last 10 to 15 years, triple, quadruple. Why?
Television money, Tom. And that's what, look, basketball and soccer are the only sports that have that level of stardom. The NFL has
limited.
32 teams.
How many
people do they have with the global stardom, just recognition of James Harden or Kyrie Irving?
No.
They have a quarterback.
That's it. Maybe.
Teams don't have that.
Oh, so there's one guy. It's only Brady, and the reason it's Brady, honestly, is because of his wife, who is a worldwide figure.
Yeah.
There's no football is within the borders. It's not. It's certainly not football. It's not hockey. I mean, it's just not. But basketball pays so much money that you're sort of hamstrung. If you're a player, you have to take the money. If they're throwing it at you, you have to take it.
You cannot negotiate it down like the NFL.
No.
That's not happening. The Players Association won't even allow that.
No.
And so you've got this situation, and look, free agency starts tonight, and there are going to be people offered massive sums. I don't know. Well, yeah, a guy like Zach LaVine. who's played in exactly one playoff series as a veteran player. Zach's in his like seventh, eighth season. He's played one playoff series.
All right.
And he is going to command that kind of dollar.
That's so much money. John Wall, he's going to play. And we had David Aldridge on yesterday, and this is an interesting thing. David said he's not going to start for that team. He hasn't earned the right to start for that team. Reggie Jackson's going to start for that team. He's going to have to come off the bench. Do you believe that?
I mean, look, you can. Tyronn Lue is the coach there. He knows what he's doing. And he may go to somebody, a GM, or he may just decide, listen, I do want John Wall to start. Now, he may not play the lion's share of the minutes. He may not have the sort of level of being the degree to which he can do whatever he wants on the teams he had with the Wizards. But he could start. It's conceivable, Tony. But John Wall is not going to have the carte blanche that we associate with John Wall from 5 years ago and a guy of his talent. And John Wall's 31 years old now. So, you know, there's some conditions upon which John Wall will play for the Clippers. He's not just going to be a guy who gets to go out there and do exactly what he wants for an entire season. No chance.
Okay, so they're the Nets. They're the Nets of the West. They got these big-name players, all of whom have been great here and there and injured often. And they're just like the Nets. And Las Vegas will make them the favorites in the West. And, Mike, I wouldn't.
They're not going to be favorites. They won't be the favorites.
No?
No. No, no, no. There are too many good teams in the West, Tom. There's just too many. And so, no, the Clippers, and they'll be, you know, you look at the betting odds, and I'm not good on how to figure that out. But the Clippers will be talked about in a way that is preposterous.
Like the
They're
Nets.
Not going to be favored over Golden State, not for a second.
All right, let's go to Harden. James Harden is a free agent now. James Harden, I guess everybody is reporting that he'll make a deal with Philadelphia. Can I ask you, I love James Harden. I said James Harden was going to help them win the title. James Harden was a shadow of James Harden. Why would they give him a long-term deal exactly?
Well, Tony, his general manager, his boss, Daryl Morey, my dear friend, Northwestern's own, he believes in James Harden still. And the Sixers are in a little different predicament. They've got the reason Harden will take less money is so that the Sixers can fill in the roster around him with a roster that looks something like a championship roster.
Right.
So this was DeAndre Melton, who they got from Memphis. Melton is a player who can do a whole lot of things, and he can help you. He's not going to be a 25-point-per-game night. He's an 11-point-per-game guy. He can also defend the hell out of you. He can rebound it. He can pass it a little bit. He can do a lot of things. And the Sixers got him. Now, they got to pay him. But with Beard taking a little less money, a little haircut, pun intended, the Sixers can cobble together a team that looks like it can still contend with the likes of Boston and Miami and Milwaukee in the East.
Now, let me move off this. Did you watch the Serena match against Harmony Tan?
Oh, yes, I watched some of it.
I'd never heard of Harmony Tan in my life. That's one of the great matches I've ever seen. Serena is now 40. I understand she's rusty because she hadn't played in a year. You pay attention to tennis. Do you think she can come back to approximately where she was, or do you think she knows in her heart it's time to go now?
Well, I mean, she's starting to find that out. You know, Tony, I mean, delusional, the greatest athletes are also completely delusional.
Yes, of course.
That's how they get there.
Yes.
And they become delusional at like 15. And so, yeah, they can connect with reality later. But no, she thinks she can. And then she'll figure out shortly that she cannot. Do I believe she can? No, not at all. Not at all.
Me too.
There are too many great, young, talented, just physically overwhelming athletes on the women's tour now. And no, they're not going to let Serena win at all. She's not going to win.
Here's my feeling about her, and I admire her enormously. But if she let a 24-year-old woman who's ranked 115th in the world dictate how that set, all those sets were going to be played other than the second set. If she hit it 300 miles an hour and this woman kept hitting it back, you know, she's got to say to herself, if I can't, even being off for a year, if I can't beat her, what's going to happen when I play somebody in the top 20, right? Doesn't she have to say that?
At some point.
Yeah.
Not initially.
After the U.S. Open, she has to say that, I would think.
I mean, maybe. I mean, she's going to say it, Tom. They all have. And it's incredible to listen to people who can really articulate what that's like. And, you know, our dear friend Charles Barkley is so great at talking about this, about how when you retire, you go out because you got injuries and the things you can't do physically anymore. And you go out for a while, you're out for some months, and then you start to feel better. And you come back and you're completely convinced you're going to be the person who's in the Hall of Fame. And you're not. You can't get there. But when you feel better, you think you can. And it's that bit of delusion that the greatest of the great, they suffer from that as well. Because they couldn't have gotten to where they are without that belief in self. And Serena Williams is still there. And she won't be there forever. She probably won't even be there for long.
I don't.
And she's probably got some inkling in her mind now. My God, I can't believe I lost this person. But they all have that at some point. They have to. And people say, well, why don't they figure this out? Yeah. Because they spent their whole lives believing in themselves at this level. And so it's an incredible dynamic. And it's also fascinating to watch Tony. And, of course, it becomes sad at the end. When it's Willie Mays and he can't get around the base path and he has been the greatest player in the history of that sport, you just go, okay. It looks bad. I hate this. I know you had to hate it.
Yeah.
When you were a young man and you saw this happen with your hero.
Willie Mays, yeah.
But this is what happens.
Stumbling at the plate. Get out. Don't want to remember it this way. All right. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Tone. Thanks.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, will take a break. Buster Olney will join us. Well, of course, we're going to ask him about cows. We're going to ask about Freddie Freeman, too. But cows, to begin with. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, Chuck Prosciutto, or Prosciutto, in the Mile 57 band, a type of music referred to as red dirt music from South Texas. And from Ajit Purandare, who sent this in. He writes, in 2017, I was a captain about to exit the military when I watched a program depicting a casualty notification. In that moment, I remembered writing a last letter home, and I thought about what it might say if I was married with a family and if it came home without me. The song only took about 10 minutes to write, sitting at that desk, no guitar, just putting the words as they flew from my government-issued pen.
That was for Folded Flag, the song we played earlier.
Oh, okay.
This one is called Hell or High Water. But yeah, incredibly powerful story behind that
yes.
song.
Yes. And wonderful music.
Yeah.
Michael, if people like Chuck Prosciutto and the Mile 57 Band want to send in their music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
So yesterday on PTI, I was talking with Matt Kelleher about possible stories. It was a very light day. There wasn't much to talk about. I knew we were going to get stuck talking about the NBA and free agency, but we were looking for something else that was interesting, and there was a Freddie Freeman story that was interesting, that he had fired his agents because he didn't really want to go to the Dodgers. He really wanted to stay with the Braves, and I found out it was a Buster Olney story, and I said, well, that's great. We can get Buster on because we can talk about Freddie Freeman, whose body of work I admire tremendously, but more importantly, we can talk about cows because Buster grew up in a dairy farmer family, and if I remember correctly, he and his sister own a farm, and his sister runs the dairy farm, and Buster, do I remember this correctly? Your sister's running the dairy farm, and you're not, but you're part of it.
She owns the farm. She owns the farm now, but she rents out the property to local to our neighbors who use it for pasture land now on cows. The dairy farm is no longer working, but the cows are there.
Well, then let me ask the obvious question: how are the cows doing?
The cows are wonderful. I got to say, there's no better grass for cows than May and June grass. You know, once you get into August, it gets a little bit dried out, and the cows start to look around the edges. But May and June, the grass is absolutely beautiful.
When was the last time you visited the cows and gave them your best?
It was actually last fall, but I'm going back up there in August. I'll be spending 2 weeks up in that area.
Good. Are these ice cream cows? Can you use their milk to make ice cream?
So the cows that we had on our farm were Jersey cows, which are the best cows when it comes to making ice cream. Ben and Jerry's draws its best from Jersey cows because they have a high butterfat content as opposed to those absolutely overbred Holsteins, the black and white ones,
right,
don't have as high a butterfat content as the Jerseys do.
Do any of the people you cover know that you know so much about cows? Have you ever had a conversation with a baseball player about cows? Some of them, I'm sure, have come from farms.
Absolutely. Madison Bumgarner, of course, had the greatest postseason in history in 2014. He grew up in a farming community. In fact, he gave his wife a cow as a wedding present. And I walked up to him, you know, because I needed to confirm this before doing SportsCenter. I said, look, I know you gave this animal to your wife. Was this a bull or was it a cow? And he looked at me with an absolute straight face. He goes, when I gave it to her, it was a bull, but now it's a steer.
So he's the one. I was sort of hoping Scherzer or Verlander, who I like so much, knew about cows.
No, Verlander collects cars and not cows. Wade Miley is another one. He pitches with the Chicago Cubs now. He's got a herd of cattle, and when I saw him last, I asked him how that's going.
It's just so great. So, okay, tell the Freddie Freeman story, because, I mean, I think I am in the mass of people who didn't really understand how it could be that Freddie Freeman, who was for so many years the absolute face of the Atlanta Braves, could be treated so callously and could be let go, you know, when they had just won the World Series. That's how I looked at it. What happened to Freddie Freeman? And now you have an answer.
Yeah, there was it was a big surprise. It was a shock in the spring when he didn't go back there in that 48-hour period where, you know, the negotiations with Freddie broke down between the Braves and his representation. When they traded for Matt Olson, who's grew up in the Atlanta area, and they immediately signed him to an eight-year, $168 million deal, and it caught Freddie by surprise. And in the days after that, he was calling some of his former teammates and saying, this is not what I wanted to have happen. I wanted to stay with the Braves. What's going on? And he was very tearful. And then a few days later, he wind up signing with the Dodgers. And when you look at the Dodgers contract that he has, it's so heavily loaded with deferred money. $162 million is deferred. Plus, when you factor in state taxes, what Freddie wound up with was signing a deal with the Dodgers, his second, you know, the team that he did the preferred second to the Braves, signing a deal with the Dodgers that was for less money for more years. So it didn't really make sense, and that's clearly has chafed at Freddie. And when you guys saw the emotion over the weekend when he was in Atlanta, and I had my own feelings watching his emotion, and I ran this past friends of his who he played with, I said I interpreted that as 10% gratitude for Braves fans who treated him and his family so well, and he appreciated that, but 90% sadness and anger over how this played out. And so on Monday, on Sunday, Freddie contacted the union. He is listed within Major League Baseball's files as now self-represented, no longer by the XL agency, no longer by Casey Close, who was the lead negotiator in that contract talk with the Braves.
He fired them, right? He fired them. But he feels that they lied in their negotiations because if they didn't lie, in other words, if they didn't say they put in an artificial deadline of an hour and you have to get back to us, and they certainly implied that there was another deal on the table, he gave over his destiny to these people, and he feels that they screwed him, right?
Yeah, I don't know specifically if he feels like something was misrepresented or whatever, but I would say this. And Chipper Jones, I did an interview in March right after Freddie signed, and Chipper told me that he spoke with Freddie last August, and he told him, look, if you want to stay with the Braves, you need to get a hold of this right now, because if you go into free agency, these are Chipper's words to Freddie, then you're going to wind up with another team because it's going to get out of your control. And so I think Chipper, as he made clear in that interview, he really feels like Freddie needed to have more control of that process. And I think the question for the representatives would be, how is it that this player who wanted to stay with the Braves wound up with a deal for what was overall less money? How they got to that point, there are different perspectives on that, but that's where he is, and that's what you saw over the weekend.
Will the Major League Baseball Players Association take up for Freddie Freeman in this particular case?
No. As I say, I've heard a lot of different interpretations as to how they got to that point, but the Player Association seems to be wanting to basically stay out of it.
Okay. So Freddie Freeman is going to the Hall of Fame. Everybody understands that. Freddie Freeman was the Atlanta Braves. But Clayton Kershaw is the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is going to the Hall of Fame as well, and he is every bit as famous and beloved in Los Angeles as Freddie Freeman is. And Clayton Kershaw said something publicly that if I were Freddie Freeman, I'd have to go to see Clayton Kershaw and we'd have to iron this out. Right, Buster? Because he basically said, look, we got a pretty good deal here. We don't want to think that we're playing second fiddle to the Atlanta Braves with Freddie.
That's right, and in fact, that was done in an interview with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on Saturday after Friday night's standing ovation for Freddie and all the tears that he had, and right away, I had folks in the Dodgers organization saying that for Clayton Kershaw, that was kind of like a high inside fastball.
You bet.
Like, hey,
you
guys,
bet.
Let's go. Now, there's some interesting parts of this. First off, Freddie has said that he's spoken with Clayton about that. I was told over the weekend they're definitely Dodger players with their eyebrows raised. I think, though, that what probably works on Freddie's behalf is, as he was going through all this emotion, the 3 days leading up to Atlanta, all the crying that we saw on the field with the Braves, he was in the Braves clubhouse a couple times over the weekend. He also batted over 400 in one player of the week.
Yeah.
So he was able to thrive while processing it. So I do think as they move forward, it was probably healthy for everybody to have this conversation, because however we got to this moment, Freddie is a Dodger, and he's going to remain a Dodger in the years ahead. He's not going back to Atlanta anytime soon.
So I guess I wonder about this. There was the stuff from Ronald Acuna Jr. a couple of months ago that was very critical of Freddie Freeman, that Freddie Freeman was endorsing, a sort of antiquated baseball system, and Acuna chafed a little bit about that. And now you've got Clayton Kershaw. This is not an insignificant guy, Clayton Kershaw. He's really not. Are we wrong about Freddie Freeman, those of us who sort of revere him and think that when people stop at first base to chat with him, that he's the ambassador of Kwan for the entire Major League Baseball operation? Could we be busted? Could we be wrong about Freddie Freeman?
No, he's a really great guy. You know, there are... I have spoken with teammates who've said, he's a super nice guy. He sometimes does get involved with other players, with young players, and fostering as much as, say, you hear about Jose Abreu with the White Sox, for example, being really good at that. But they also say he's a great guy. The other thing, too, I think it's an interesting undercurrent in the Clayton Kershaw conversation is that who is Clayton Kershaw's agent? XL.
Oh.
Casey Close.
Oh, okay. Right.
So
right.
You wonder how much of that is going on as well. And Clayton's been with that group for a while and really trusts that group. And maybe that was part of the conversation too.
I just think it's a really cool story. Thank you for doing it and for coming on the show. And will you please call after you see the cows in August? I'd like to just know how they're doing.
I will give an update. Absolutely. They good, will love good. To hear that you care about them.
I do. I love cows. Thank you, Buster. Buster only, boys and girls.
See ya.
It's a very good story. The Freddie Freeman story is really sort of a good story. Good for him. We'll take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
At Almo, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Almo's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. Gary was at Jingle Fest. I had multiple reports that Gary and Kim, the entire family, were at Jingle Fest.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Miss
you want to do the Bethesda bagels yet? Can I just say, where are the sandwiches? I mean, now we've gone a couple of weeks without them.
Well, did we get them last week?
I don't know.
Yeah, we certainly didn't get them this week, but we do love Bethesda bagels.
I don't, but I, you know.
Like I think we should look to Comcast to solve this one.
Yeah.
Comcast should do that to make good with us, yes. All you need to do is go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you, then pop on in, and you'll be thrilled.
All right, before we get to the mailbag, let me say, but the band's on the bus and they're ready to go. We got to drive all night and do the show in Chicago or Detroit. I don't know. We do so many shows in a row. And these towns all look the same. We just pass the time in the hotel rooms and wander around backstage till the lights come up and we hear that crowd and we remember why we came. That is Jackson Browne, a song called The Loadout that is, in fact, recorded at Marjorie Merriweather Post Pavilion in Maryland.
Yes.
Where people have seen concerts where I went to see Barry Manilow and got thrown out of the state. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Buster Olney. Thanks to today's sponsor, Shopify Trade Coffee, Freshly. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. From Ali Fuller, it says JD PhD. So a lawyer and a doctorate. That's pretty good, right? Albanese, not Albanese.
Right, it's not the
very simple. It's not Albany, New York. Albanese, right. Albanese. I guess I pronounced it
yes.
wrong. From Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland. Bonjour. Colorado Avalanche defenseman Eric Johnson is not only a Stanley Cup winner, he also owns several thoroughbred racehorses. Thank goodness he didn't do something stupid with his money, like buy a restaurant. That's funny. That's funny for people that remember the original story about airplanes, horses, and restaurants. From Elliot Olshansky again, your recent experience with deer reminds me of some of my own. As I've mentioned before, in August 1998, my family moved from Syosset to Chappaqua, where I graduated from Horace Greeley High School. Go West, young man. With your friend Larry Gainan's daughter Gabby and Len Rubin's son Andrew. On our first morning in our new home, my parents woke me up to look out their window at a deer in the yard. Naturally, coming from Nassau County, this was quite a new experience, but the charm wore off quickly for reasons I'm sure you're familiar with. The following summer, my parents and I had the opportunity to visit Japan, and while we spent most of the trip in Tokyo and Kyoto, we also took a day to visit the city of Nara, which is Japan's capital city from most of the 700s. The city is famous for its Sika, S-I-K-A, deer. Hope I pronounced that right. Who roam freely around the town and are considered sacred. Naturally, there are snack vendors who sell crackers to feed the deer, but when I asked if we could buy some, my mother told me, we already pay to feed the deer at home. It's called landscaping. Best regards from Suffolk County, where I do occasionally spot some deer from hiking trails, but I've yet to encounter them in my neighborhood. If you live in Washington, D.C., just don't grow daylilies.
We've had some interesting emails about how to, you know, combat the deer.
Wolf urine.
Yeah. Also, human hair. If you scatter that over, like, where they eat, for some reason, they don't like that, and they'll just leave.
Well, I'll have to wait till next year, won't I?
Yes.
I'm not sure my neighbors will be happy with that one.
My daylilies are all gone.
Yes.
Ron St. Amand, our old friend in Toronto. Has anyone checked for the missing H on the license plates? Wherever the Nationals drop that O, if it's not there, maybe check Ted Leonsis' pants if they're still around. This is from Rich Cinque Grana, Arlington, Virginia. I believe the H plates in D.C. can be found on taxi cabs. I assume this is derived from Hackney. Yes, hack license. Perhaps the 1983 classic D.C. cab as a reference. It's just a hunch, but makes sense to me. That movie's terrible.
It was awful.
As a Rhode Island native, our statewide transit service license plates, while they do not start with J, do carry a jitney plate, meaning bus information for life.
Mr. T in that movie, isn't he?
Yes. From Dylan Reese in Los Angeles, California. When you see a District of Columbia license plate that starts with D.A., do you consider it a David Aldridge moment? No, but I say David Aldridge. I see FS on Michael's car. Frank Sinatra, that's what you do. John Holt, Chester, Virginia. What happened to the H? Let's try an exercise. Say the following words. Huge, Houston, human, human, humor. Maybe DC license plates just speak with a Long Island accent. From Atlanta, now in Roslyn. The Women's PGA Championship, talking about the one at Congo. He was a walking scorer. Michael can explain what it means. It's not as glamorous as Doug caring for Rose Zhang at the Women's Am a couple of years back, but I'll try to get the TK salute on TV. I don't know if he did, if Q was able to.
He had the big
that.
Sign.
Yeah. Is that right?
Heavy, yeah.
And you
get a golf ball usually.
Tommy Friedman did that. Well, he was an electronic scorer.
Yeah, he was.
You know, not he wasn't the sign.
He was
sign
doing shot
guy.
Link.
From Reed Gray, R-E-E-D, Gray, in Euless, Texas. As a Reed, I'm glad it's not with an I. Those are not real Reeds. Okay.
Yeah, the thin man.
Okay. Captain. From Bratton DuBose in Raleigh, North Carolina. First time, long time. My wife and I traveled to Oregon for our first wedding anniversary this past weekend. I wanted to give Dave and Sarah a shout-out at Bell's Up for making our visit to their winery amazing.
Isn't that lovely?
That's it. That's the email. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Go Victor Robles, because we saw Victor Robles.
He's batting higher than Juan Soto, and he can't hit major league pitching.
Yeah.
It was cold in December when I wrote her a letter, letting her know I love her till the end. The year gets so lonely, no one there to hold me. I can't wait till you're in my arms again. Summer came, it wasn't me at the fell to your knees on the floor. I trained that 40 flag just to see you, feel you. Give all my medals back for Kiev. Turn back time and replace the memory. Leaving, come back home to the woman that made. Thank you. Never thought I'd be in your hand. Trade that boarded flag just to see you, feel you. Give all my medals back for keys. Turn back time and replace the memory. Leaving, come back home to the woman that I miss. Come back home to the woman that I miss. Oh, okay.
Dog and me running through the options in my mind. A job that doesn't pay that much and a liver that can't control your touch has left me in the dust too many times. Come hell or high water, I'm in love with your daughter. Run away if you like it or not. She don't think I hung the moon. I'm always drunk by noon. She's the only thing left that I got. No parole, sure take its toll. Running lines is never meant to be. So I left her in that town, dark and dusty with a frown. She's gotta have a new man by now. Come hell or high water, I'm in love with your daughter. Gonna run away if you like it. Don't think I hung the moon, and I'm always drunk by noon. She's the only thing left that I got. And I remember 21, we were wild and having fun. Daughter.
like it now. She don't think I hung the moon, and I'm always drunk by noon. She's the only thing left that I got. She's the only thing left that I got.